The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simon Yud Dalet, Dini Psuke de Zimra, the laws of Psuke de Zimra. Sif Aleph. Min Haidu ala Ach Ashira, Hema Psuke de Zimra. From Haidu, the verses that we recite from Divrei Hayamim, starting with the words Haidu Hashem, Kiru Vishmai, until after the Shiras Hayam, the verses of Az Yashir. Those are called Psukei de Zimra. They are verses of song, in which we express, say many verses of praise to Hashem, in as a prelude and a preface to the next section of the Tefillah, next section of prayer, which are the Berachos Kriyas Shema, ultimately the Tefillah Shemoneh Esrei. Baruch Sh'amar hi bracha shelofneihem. Baruch Sh'amar is the blessing said before the Psukei de Zimra. The Yishtamach Yibracha Shalachem is the blessing afterwards. So really, Psukei de Zimra is a little bit similar to Hallel that we say, that there's a bracha before it and after it. And the Psukei de Zimra is sandwiched in between these two brachas. These brachas are not explicitly mentioned in the Gemara as brachas on Psukei de Zimra. As a matter of fact, the Baruch Shalachem is not mentioned at all in the Talmud. But the Medrash brings, the Pesukim bring a Medrash, that Baruch Sh'amar was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the body of sages that were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, of the Jews, at the beginning of the Second Temple period. It was instituted by them based upon a paper, a document that fell down from the heavens with the text of Baruch Sh'amar written upon it. And as such, it is a very early source blessing, and is very important. Yishtabach also, although not explicitly mentioned in the Talmud as in the context of Psukei de Zimra, however, it is mentioned in the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Pesachim when it talks about the Seder, and it discusses on the night of the Seder, the first night of Pesach, that we say Hallel, and it talks over there about the Birchas Hashir, the blessing of the song. And part of it is Yishtabach. It starts with Nishmas that we say on Shabbos and ends off with Yishtabach. And the Pesukim tell us that during the weekday it was shortened to just the end, just the Yishtabach part. On Shabbos we recite the full version starting with Nishmas, and during the week we recite the shortened form of Yishtabach. So also it is really somewhat sourced in the Talmud, and therefore one should not make light of these blessings. But because the Psukei de Zimra is like one unit with a blessing before it and a blessing after it, so the Kitzur explains to us that Mishehischil Baruch Sh'amar, as soon as a person starts Baruch Sh'amar, Ala'acha Gemara Tefillah, until after he finishes Shemoneh Esrei, also the Hasik B'Dibur is not allowed to interrupt with speech, Afilah B'Lashna HaKodesh, even in Hebrew, the Holy Tongue. Then parenthetically, he points out that V'chem B'chol Makim Sh'asa La'Hasik, any place that is forbidden to interrupt. Also, I feel Lashna HaKodesh, it's forbidden to interrupt even in Lashna HaKodesh, even in the Holy Tongue in Hebrew, even though the language itself is holy. However, it does not give one the license to speak when one is not allowed to speak. And since one is not allowed to interrupt, it doesn't make a difference what language he is using. And just to explain briefly, once a person starts Baruch Sh'amar, so he is now in the middle of a unit comprised of a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end. It's a little bit similar to a very large bracha, such as Alamichya or the like, which starts with a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end. And one may not interrupt in the middle of a blessing. So even though it's not the Psukei de Zimra itself is not really all part of one big blessing, because it's bracketed with a blessing before and a blessing after, so one may not heedlessly or needlessly interrupt in the middle. Once you finish Psukei de Zimra, right away you move on into Birchas Kriyas Shema, the blessings of Kriyas Shema, during which one may not interrupt. during Kriya Shema itself, and then during Shemoneh Esrei, when we not interrupt, obviously. And that's why the Ketzer tells us that once you start Baruch Shema, you may not interrupt at all, or needlessly, until one has finished Shemoneh Esrei. And the truth is, even then, one should not really interrupt until after he said Tachanun, because there should not be a hefsek, an interruption between Shemoneh Esrei and Tachanun, if possible. So getting back to Pesukei D'Zimra, so while in general one is not allowed to be masik, one is not allowed to interrupt, however, continues the Kitzur, in the Indian hefsek, l'dvar mitzvah, regarding an interruption for a matter of a mitzvah, yish chilek ben Pesukei D'Zimra b'rachos sa'ad, there's a difference, a distinction between Pesukei D'Zimra and its brachos, its blessings before and after, l'kriya shema b'rachos sa'ad, as opposed to Kriya Shema and its brachos, that we say after Yishtabach, we start the bracha of Yetzer Or and Kriya Shema up until Shemoneh Esrei, that it's easier to interrupt during Pesukei D'Zimra and its brachos than it is during Kriya Shema and its brachos. During Pesukei D'Zimra, feel the emtsa Baruch Shema, the emtsa Yishtabach, even in the middle of Baruch Shema and Yishtabach, although they are a bracha, really, they're really a bracha. Still, as I'll explain soon, they're not so strict. And therefore, im shemeya is a bracha. If a person hears another blessing from somebody else, mutu leilani zamin. You happen to be davening somewhere and somebody makes a bracha shehako on a drink. You can answer amen, even though it's nothing to do with the tefillah, it's nothing to do with davening. Since it's a mitzvah to answer amen upon hearing any bracha, so if one hears a bracha, one should answer amen even in the middle of Pesukei D'Zimra, and even in the middle of Baruch Shema and Yishtabach. Before we move on to mention the other items for which one is allowed to interrupt, I should point out that the reason the Kitzur tells us that you're allowed to interrupt even in the middle of Baruch Shema and Yishtabach, even though normally during a bracha it's forbidden to interrupt for any old amen, for regular amen, normally you're not interrupted at all in the middle of the bracha. However, the Pesukim can tell us that since Baruch Shema and Yishtabach are not explicitly mentioned in the Talmud, as I said before, therefore they are not as strict as a regular bracha, which is mentioned in the other blessings which are mentioned in the Talmud. And that's why you're allowed to interrupt in the middle. And that is the opinion also of the Mishneh Berurah, that one is allowed to interrupt in the middle. However, many other Pesukim disagree with this, and they say, no, it's a blessing. Not only is it a blessing, but we mentioned before, the Medrash tells us how significant the blessing of Baruch Shema is, that it was recorded, it was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolim at the beginning of the Second Temple period, based upon the paper which fell down from the sky, from heavens, with the text of the blessing on it. One should not take such a blessing lightly, and therefore they say that one's in the middle of the blessing of Baruch Shema, one should not interrupt. As such, there are differing customs on this matter. Some do interrupt, some don't interrupt. When it comes to answering amen, whenever one does, one has whom to rely upon. But the opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, as we mentioned, is that one is allowed to interrupt even in the middle of the blessing of Baruch Shema Yishtabach. However, we should also mention, the place can point out that if you are at the very end, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mevul B'Tish Brachos, once you're ready after the word Hashem, everyone agrees you cannot interrupt at all, because then you would completely ruin the bracha, completely ruin the blessing. You're in the middle of the final little bit of the blessing, and everyone agrees you cannot interrupt at that point. The only discussion is beforehand, in the middle of Baruch Shema, once you really started the first word Baruch, are you allowed to interrupt or not? The Kitzur says you are. As I mentioned, other Pesukim say you are not. And today's the Kitzur, that not only are you allowed to answer any amen, but he says, v'chein, so too, im shemeya, if you hear shehakohol amen kriya shema. You, let's say, you came late, for example, and you're still saying Pesukei D'Zimra, and the congregation is reciting shema. Amen, pasuk shema Yisrael, you should recite together with them the verse, shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, since it is the acceptance of the oak of heaven, you're expressing the unity of God. That is something which is so important that it's not appropriate that you should separate yourself from the congregation. If they're sanctifying and unifying, reciting the unification of God's name, you should also do so together with them. And since it's a divine mitzvah, it's something which one is supposed to do. So as we mentioned in the middle of Pesukim Zimra, one is allowed to interrupt for the Dvar Mitzvah. And we call it, certainly, Lekadosh, Lekdusha, Lebaruch Hu, to respond to Kadosh. The Amin on Kadosh, Amin Yishmer Rabba on Kadosh, Lekdusha, to answer Kadosh and Baruch, even Yimloch, Lebaruch Hu, and to respond Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem and Baruch Lelam Voed. Then Mutu Lelahastik, you're allowed to interrupt Lelamis and Makon to respond together with the congregation. So these are all the things for which it is permitted to interrupt. When we call Malkim, however, in Afshar Lelechavin, if it's possible for him to work things out, Sheyavtik Le'elu B'Malkim Hefzik, that he should interrupt for these in a place where there's a natural break in Psukei D'Zimra, going to be Mizmor L'Mizmor, for example, between paragraphs, for example, between the Halalukas, between each paragraph and the Halalukas, or the Chol HaPachas, or at the bare minimum, the Impasik L'Pasik, between verses, Yasekein, one should do so, but it seems clear from the Ketzer that if you can't, you are caught on off guard, let's say, and you're in the middle of a verse, then you should interrupt there also. The Mishnah Berurah makes a distinction between a basic Amen, which he says can only interrupt in the middle of a verse if it's at a natural break, even within the verse. Because often a verse will have two halves, two phrases, so if you're between phrases, even within the same verse, within one verse, then you could, if you're stuck, respond Amen, but if you're in the middle of a phrase, then the Mishnah Berurah says one should not respond Amen, but the more significant responses for Kadosh, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, then you could respond even in the middle of a phrase, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But optimally, one should plan in advance. If he hears that the congregation is getting up to Kadosh or Kedusha, he should, and he sees he's about to finish a chapter, a paragraph. In Pesukei D'Zimra, he should not start the next paragraph, and which would entail him being mafsik in the middle, interrupting in the middle of the paragraph. He should rather wait, so he could interrupt in between paragraphs rather than in the middle of a paragraph. Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai continues the Kitzur that Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai, that we respond after hearing Hashem's name. Someone says Baruch Atah Hashem, and the response is Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai, blessed is He and blessed is His name. That response, Lo Yer Ma'atech Pesukei D'Zimra, you should not say it in the middle of Pesukei D'Zimra. Feel B'Malkim Hefzik, even in a place where there's a natural break, even between paragraphs. And he tells us parenthetically, the reason is Kevin Shana Nitzko B'Gemara, since this response is not mentioned explicitly in the Talmud, so it doesn't carry enough weight, it's not significant enough, not enough of a divine mitzvah to allow us to interrupt in the middle of Pesukei D'Zimra. The Chena Nosach Yisparach V'Yishtabach, the text Yisparach V'Yishtabach, which you'll find many Siddurim, next to Baruch Hu, etc., Shoimim, that the some have a custom to say, Kishtu Chazen Menagin Baruch Hu, and the Chazen, the cantor, sings some kind of tune while he is saying Baruch Hu. So Lo Yerma, one should not say that, Kivin Shenri Al Minik, since it's only a custom, it's not an obligation, so for that one should waive that custom and not interrupt in the middle of Pesukei D'Zimra. And so too, in the response in the middle of Kaddish, that we say Baruch Hu, one should also equate that with Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai, and Yisparach V'Yishtavach, and you should not respond Baruch Hu in the middle of Pesukei D'Zimra. And so too, says the Kitzur, if a person went to the bathroom and washed his hands, nearly, it appears to me, you should not say Asher Yatzar, since he's allowed to say it afterwards, he could wait. As long as he doesn't have an urge to go to the bathroom again, he could still fulfill his obligation and say Asher Yatzar afterwards. So it's preferable that he should wait until after he's finished Shemoneh Esrei to say Asher Yatzar. Mr. Brewer, however, brings down that it is permitted to say Asher Yatzar in the middle of Pesukei D'Zimra. He just points out that it's preferable to leave it until the middle of in between paragraphs. Again, when there's a natural break in the Pesukei D'Zimra, one should at that point say Asher Yatzar. Sif Beis. Yoyefai is Shnei Shteya Tzitzit Yashil Afana. A person should hold the two tzitzis. A person wears a garment of tzitzis, or if he's married already, or if he's not married, if he has a talis. So he has four tzitzis on each corner of his garment. Normally the way a talis is worn, two are draped in front of him and two are behind him. or even a person is wearing a talis kata and the tzitzis under his garment. So he has four tzitzis, one in each corner. One should hold the two tzitzis in the front two corners of his garment, hold them in his hand, the v'yomer, and he should say, Baruch Shem, the blessing of Baruch Shem Bamida, while he is standing. When he finishes the bracha, he ends off the words, Mehulah Batish Brachos, that the king is praised with, exalted with praises, Yinashke, and he should kiss them, V'yanichem, then he should let go of his tzitzis. V'yomer, kol p'suka de zimra, he should say all the words of p'suka de zimra, b'nacha, slowly, b'nima, sweetly, some kind of tune, if he can. It doesn't have to be a song, but it should be a little bit melodious if possible. Lemme Merusa, not quickly. V'adakti b'cha ateves, and you should be careful to enunciate each word properly. Ki'ilu hoya mayna mayis, as if he was counting money, you would make sure to count each one individually, not to lose any, not to miss any. So too, when he's saying, he wants to make sure not to miss any of the words. V'achavim p'yush hamilais, and you should understand the translation of the words that he is saying, and you should think about them while he is saying it. If a person doesn't know the translation, obviously a sitter with an English translation is recommended, or maybe a person should try to set aside time to study the words that he is saying, a greater appreciation for all the praises that he is uttering every day. And certainly, the pasuk Pesera Sedecha, the verse in Ashrei, that we say that Hashem opens up His hand, and He satiates all living things, what they need, what they desire. You have to say it with a great degree of intent, great degree of thought. That you should think about the meaning of the words, and you should pray in His mind for His sustenance. You should have. You should be able to earn a living and have enough food to eat. Amazonians call Yisrael and the sustenance of all Jews, that they should all have enough food, should all be properly provided for. And like even by if you didn't concentrate at all, you were spacing out totally, thinking about something else, feel a bit even if you already said the verse, it's Tzarech Lachzor Emor, you have to repeat the verse. Bekavana, with concentration, with intent. And the advice can bring that if you didn't realize until later, so later on you should say it, at least from the verse Pesach HaSedach until the end of Ashrei. And if you won't have time, let's say you realize towards the Yishtabach, well, the end of Pesukah the Zimra, and if you go back, you won't have time, you'll be able to say Tefillah B'Tzibur, you won't be able to say Shemoneh Esrei together with everybody else, then you should continue davening straight, but after Shemoneh Esrei you should repeat the verse Pesach HaSedach through the end of Ashrei with concentration and thought. Towards the beginning of Haidu, so towards the end of the first division that we have in our Siddurim, it says, all the gods of the nations are nothing, they're vanity, they're silly. And Hashem, the God, Shemayim Asa, He made the heavens. So between the word Elilim and the word Hashem Shemayim Asa, Tzarech Lahafsik Tzatz, you have to pause a little bit. Shloye Hei Nira Kechayz L'Mala, you shouldn't appear as if one is saying that Hashem is also, God forbid, Elilim, is also nothingness and meaningless. Rather, it's the Elohei HaAmim are Elilim, the gods that the other nations bow down to, they worship. They are Elilim, but Hashem, He created the heavens. Sifkim. Yizoya, a person should be careful. Shlai Liga, Bishas, Psukah, the Zimra. He should not touch during the time that he is saying Psukah, the Zimra. Umikoshkin, certainly, Achakach, afterwards, Ad Gemar Tfila, and through Birchas Kriyishma, through Kriyishma, until after Shmin Esrei, he should be careful not to touch the Mekaymas, Hamachus, and Megufa, the places in the body that are normally covered, for example, under his arms, his chest, upper legs, for example, Avirosho, or his head, and Mishra explains that means to scratch his head, in the middle of his head, the part which is normally covered by his yarmulke, by his kippah. Pemakim Mechusa, in the place which is normally covered, the person should not touch there or scratch there, because if he does, he will have to wash his hands, and he will not be, he's not going to be able to pray, he's not going to say any words of prayer, until he washes his hands. We discussed this much earlier in the beginning of the Kitzur. And therefore, a person should be careful not to touch in those places while he's in the middle of praying, because he's going to have to take a break and wash his hands. V'chein b'tzayas ha'chaitem b'tzayas ha'ezen, mucus that comes out of a person's nose or the wax from a person's ear, asur liga, it's forbidden to touch. Kim ha'idem et pachas, except through a cloth. If one does touch, again, he's going to have to wash his hands, like the kids will tell us in a minute. These latter two, however, the Mishabura brings the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, who was lenient about them and says that if one touched mucus from his nose or wax in his ear, he does not have to wash his hands. The Naga B'yada, if a person did touch his hand, with his hand any one of these items or places, he should wash at least that, just that one hand. He doesn't have to wash both hands if he only touched with one hand. But he should wash the entire hand that he touched. Let's say he scratched his head, he should wash that entire hand in water. If it's during Shemoneh Esrei, the Asher Loses Rakish Mayim, he's not allowed to move from his place to go look for water, to go out to the sink and wash his hands. Daily, it's sufficient for him b'nikayin svar with cleaning his hands with a rack, or yichaychach yodah b'kaisel, or he rubs his hand against the wall, chodem, or something similar to cleanse his hand. But a person, Mishmur points out, a person should be careful to cleanse his whole hand. It's not sufficient to cleanse just the spot that you touched, the makam or mechusa. Let's say a person touched his chest or his underarm with his index finger, his right index finger. So he has to really wash his whole hand, and if he can't wash it, he should rub his entire hand, even between his fingers, on some cleansing surface, in order to cleanse his entire hand, so he should be able to continue to pray. Sifted out. Mizmor L'Soida. The paragraph starts Mizmor L'Soida, a song of thanksgiving. I'm Rabbi Amida B'Simcha. One should say it while he is standing and with joy. Shehu B'Makim Karban Taida, because it is in place of a Karban Taida, thanksgiving offering that a Jew would have to offer in certain situations as a thanks in the temple, and it's an expression of our thanks, so we should say it standing and with joy, as we thank you, as if we really mean it. From the beginning of the paragraph, Vayivarach David, until the middle of that paragraph, it's Atahu Hashem Elokim Shebechartu Ba'Avram. Yerem Ba'Amida, one should say it standing. V'chein Hashira Yerem Ba'Amida, the Shiras Hayom, V'yosha Hashem through Az Yashir, one should also say it standing. The kavanah should say it with concentration, with thought, with simcha, and with happiness. So too, when he says the blessing of Yishtabach, he should also stand. Siv hey. The Shabbos of Yom Tov. On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, ain't every Mizmor L'Soida, one does not recite the paragraph of Mizmor L'Soida. Mipnei, because the carbon taida above in the, because the carbon taida is something which comes, it's not obligatory, meaning you bring it as a voluntary offering. If one wants to give thanks, he donates a carbon taida to the temple, and he goes and he offers it at the temple. Vein mivim nedarim nedavis b'shabbos v'yom tov. Voluntary offerings are not allowed to be offered on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because all offerings require desecration of the Shabbos and Yom Tov. One has to do a number of malachas, forbidden acts, in order to properly bring a carbon. And while public offerings that are obligatory on that day are allowed to be brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov, however, offerings that are voluntary don't have to be brought today, may not be brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And since, as you mentioned in the previous sif, the paragraph of Mizmor L'Soida is taking the place, so to say, of a carbon taida, as if we are now offering a thanksgiving offering to Hashem, so we may not say that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to bring such an offering on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're also not allowed to say it on the intermediate days of Pesach, because you're not, during the temple times, one would not be allowed to bring a thanksgiving offering on Pesach. And the reason is, together with the animal itself, which served as a thanksgiving offering, one also brought a number of loaves of bread, 10 of which were supposed to be chametz. And as we know, on Pesach you cannot have chametz, so therefore you cannot bring this offering on Pesach. And therefore you could also not bring this offering on Erev Pesach, and therefore you do not say Mizmor L'Soida on Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach. It's because maybe you won't have a chance to eat all these loaves of bread before the time when it is no longer permitted to eat chametz, which is midday on Erev Pesach. You'll have to burn them, and it's forbidden to bring an offering that you know in advance you may have to end up burning. And therefore, you also may not bring the carbon taida, and therefore may do not say mizmor l'saida on the day before Yom Kippur, and Erev Yom Kippur, if neishem emayitz manachin lasa, because you are limiting the amount of time it's possible to eat this carbon, since you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, so you're limiting the amount of time that you are allowed to eat this offering. And the rule is that maybe that one is not allowed to bring a carbon in a way which limits the amount of time he has to eat it, because we're worried that it's going to cause the carbon to become pasul, become leftover, and won't be able to finish it in the properly a lot of time, and we'll have to end up burning the leftovers. And the halacha is that one is not allowed to bring a carbon, maybe because of the psul, you're not allowed to bring, you're causing carbonus kachin to end up becoming pasul and invalid and having to be burnt. And therefore, on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur, where you are limiting the amount of time you have to eat this offering, one is not allowed to bring the carbon taida, and therefore one does not say mizmor saida on these days.